Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom at voicesofmontana.com.
So why is Marco on the air? Because the St. Mary's diversion took another hit. Morning, Marco. How you doing?
Very fine, Tom, and thank you very much for hosting this.
Thank you for being on. Appreciate that. You've been with the St. Mary's Rehabilitation Working Group. You're the co-chair there. This 9 a.m., you know, I find it kind of a bit ironic that you had inspectors kind of in that area looking at how bad it could get, and then, bam, it blows out right there, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Hats off to the Bureau of Reclamation. And I'll speak about the Joint Board of Control as well, but they had been monitoring both siphons, the St. Mary and Halls Cooley, because they were leaking. They are 109 years old, and they made a decision early yesterday morning to go ahead and shut off the water, but it takes a long while to drain 9 miles of canal, and unfortunately during that time the leak that they were seeing exacerbated into a full catastrophic failure. Nobody was hurt. There was some flooding to a local establishment there, and that's unfortunate, but it was predictable. These things are 100 years old, and they are doomed to fail if we don't address them.
I'm going to share this comment again. I shared it earlier. It was, for the record, somebody who's been with the Montana Wool Growers. They've been lobbying for 20 years to get some things done there, and just summarizing here, felt like they've been snubbed for a long time. We have noted that, too. In fact, I went to, like, there was a Senate committee hearing. I just type in St. Mary's, you know, and bam, this was from 2006. But the, I guess
the field hearing in Havre.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yep. Didn't any money ever come out of that?
No.
Yeah.
Senator Domenici and Burns, our local Senator Burns, both were there. We met in Havre. And the crux of the problem is when these projects were first developed, so we had to develop the Bureau of Reclamation to begin with in the turn of the century first and appoint those people, and then we started recognizing that the American West was drier than the eastern part of the country, and so we started investing in these projects, and the early projects were not gifted the other benefits and a lower cost allocation change. So anytime something happens up on the project, we pay 75% of it as irrigators. And these large infrastructure and now catastrophic failures are just off the charts in terms of their cost, and costs keep going up. So we had a failure in 2020. That was the reason why our group was formed in 2003. We used to carry around a signboard that said, prevent a catastrophic failure, work on mutual benefits for the Blackfeet tribe, and then restore capacity of Fresno Reservoir. Those were our three goals. And in 2020, we had a failure, so our working group didn't stop it, and we fixed that. And now this one is going to be much more difficult because it's in the middle of the project, not the end. And so it's going to be tough.
Yeah, now talk about what you guys are looking at there. I mentioned it earlier. You've got these big 90-inch tubes, a couple of them. They bring the water from the North Fork of the Milk River. What happened?
So these siphons, there's a storage facility in Glacier Park called Sherburne Reservoir. We divert water out of there. It goes to St. Mary Lake. The lake is uncontrolled. It flows north into Canada. And about a mile down from the output of the lake, we have a diversion structure. And maybe some people heard when the infrastructure bill was passed, we received $100 million to go towards repairing that aged piece of infrastructure, the diversion structure. And then water flows 9 miles down to these 8-foot siphons, and they flow 3,500 feet across the St. Mary River on its way to the North Fork of the Milk River. And the siphons are 109 years old. We've tried to keep them dry because we do know when we first started that if they leak and lubricate, then they start to vibrate because the water is chugging through the pipe. and they literally slide down the hill, crushing themselves. Mm-hmm. And now we just had a seam. The rivets held, the rivets they put in at the turn of the century held, but the pipe literally split in half, eroded a great big spot, 50 by 50 and maybe 100 feet long is a hole underneath the pipe. And then the other pipe gave way as well, so both pipes are decommissioned.
Yeah, and it takes some while. Now, is the water out of that section at this point or not yet?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to they're evaluating the area, but, I mean, it's like a bomb went off. It was a bomb of 8 feet of water flowing downward into the ground. And so it's going to take a while for all that to dry up so that they can get around up there.
What happens next then?
So we're to have a meeting Thursday with the Bureau. They'll have a few days here to digest what's problem there. All that material, it's going to be hard to find. You know, people are like, well, could you just put in a short piece to patch it? I don't think that's going to be possible. The inlet works has failed as well. So it was close to the inlet where all this occurred. And so I think we should look at replacing both of the siphons. We, to the credit of the Joint Board of Control, they have engineering study to do so. It takes 7 months to order the pipe, and that should be paramount that we do that immediately so we can start, you know, getting that time off, because the good news is we have water in Fresno. So for 2024, we should have another irrigation and we should be in good shape. But next year, we have no way to convey the water from the mountain range to the prairie, mm-hmm. and that's going to be, the longer we wait, that seven-month construction part on the siphon pipe is going to eat us alive. And literally, in places like Cavern, Chinook, you will not be able to get a cup of coffee, and you're not going to be able to flush the toilet.
Yeah.
That's how tenuous the situation is.
It is very much a public safety issue. Does that maybe free up some federal funding? I know the infrastructure bill really wasn't designed for projects like this. There was sort of a special place where they put $100 million for projects specifically like this. And so far, I think St. Mary's is the only one applying for that funding. Will this, because it's a public safety concern, maybe open up some new avenues for better corrective action?
You know, even the state is going to sit on a surplus here. At one time, the governor, when he was a representative, came to our St. Mary's working group and said, this is the most important infrastructure project in the state of Montana. Now it's broken. All the lieutenant governors since 2003 have sat on the St. Mary's Working Group as a co-chair with Randy Reed, who's since passed away, and myself now. So I do think that the state has the ability to, you know, they gave us some loan money. They might be able to direct. We'd still have to come up with $30 million locally under the loan structure that the state had kind of outlined in the last legislative session to address the siphons. Maybe they could up that a little bit and speed it up and play a role in that along with the Bureau of Reclamation.
Well, and here's the thing, I think, Mark. Marco Manukian, again, co-chair, St. Mary's Rehabilitation Working Group. The thing is, you guys have to move forward whether that decision is made or not. So, like you say, you're paying 75% of all the infrastructure costs or improvements or maintenance around there. You're going to you have to move forward with this as is, I suppose. And so that's quite a burden. What's the cost?
For the two pipes, so the St. Mary and the Halls Cooley, St. Mary, again, is 3,500 feet. They're 8 feet diameter. It's a smaller diameter pipe, but there's two of them at Halls Cooley, and they're only 1,500 feet long. But it's $80 million for the pipe itself and probably most of the work.
I guess, though, the good news that you had said was that Fresno is full. It's actually quite full, isn't it?
87% is what I saw on the chart this morning.
And so,
I mean, there are some things that are working to our advantage. The Joint Board of Control recognizing that, you know, you can't just look at these individual components. You got to look at the whole thing. It's all old. And going forward with engineering studies to to get those out of the way. So that's moved us down the ways, you know, we talked about, could we put ourselves in a position to just order the pipe, since that is going to take us such a long time. But, you know, at the end of the day, we don't have the $80 million to do the deal. So I think between the state and the federal government, they could work something out, and we order the pipe and move forward.
Yeah, like you say, if it's a seven-month lag time, that's substantial.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when they did this, the pipe came on the railroad, came to Browning. They were half sections, probably 8 feet by 8 feet. They put one section in a wagon, and a horse pulled it up there, and they put Humpty Dumpty together with rivets by hand. So certainly we could do something similar or maybe slightly better to get things going, but we need to start acting soon.
Boy, I like that. That's no lie. That's when this thing was first built, was, you know, that 100-plus years ago, and that's how it was done. There's new technology available nowadays, so Marco Manukian with us. St. Mary's system provides drinking water. There's relatively some 15 to 20,000 people in Glacier Hill, Blaine, Phillips Valley counties along the High Line there. It's 100-year-old infrastructure. It failed again in a critical part. They say Milk River would dry up 6 out of every 10 years without this diversion. Very critical. And other facts here, too. And there have been a lot of them spilled out over the past 22 years in trying to get this fixed. But the Milk River Basin generates 30% of Montana's farm and ranch earnings. Marco Manukian is with us. He is co-chair of the St. Mary Rehabilitation Working Group and near BAB. Siphon failure. There's some property damage there as well. So are these siphons, these tubes, is that the best way to fix this system, Marco, still?
Yes, we did look at early on, you know, 20 years, you can look at a lot of stuff. We looked at some slip form, which were concrete that the Canadians use, and they pour them in place, and they would have gone under the river. But I think in terms of the time and cost, that going back to metal above ground is our best option. And I think that's what the engineers concluded and, you know, had identified a source of the pipe as well, which would come from back east.
So were they able then, because these pipes, they were damaged because the earth is going to change an awful lot in 100 years. What's the technology on these tubes then? I would presume that there's 50 to 100% better nowadays.
Well, I think the connectability is probably better. We have collars. And that's some of the first work that we did to allow the pipe to expand and contract with the change in temperature. We replaced a lot of collars that had frozen up. And then when the pipe is frozen like that, it starts to move. And it sits on these concrete blocks, the sections do. And between that and the lubrication, they were tipping on themselves and crushing themselves. That's kind of what we've started with. We exhumed a probably 20-foot piece and that was all crushed like an aluminum beer can. So I would hope that their connectability is better, and the speed in which they can put them in place. You know, we're not hand riveting each sheet together. There's probably some good welders that we could employ and get this thing put back together in a faster than original time frame.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be a Band-Aid approach. I know a lot of times, you've seen little things here, and you've taken a Band-Aid approach, but I don't think that's the case anymore. We're looking at full rehabilitation here.
I think when specifically the St. Mary siphons, and I will echo again, the Hall's Cooley siphon has been leaking as well. It's 109 years old, but the structure broke away from the canal and moved downhill and broken half after it had been bleeding water for quite a while. So you've got to imagine that the rest of the pipe as it goes down across that 1915 bridge is compromised and it's all old. Now is the time to address it. And in a perfect world, I would say let it dry out, go over to St. Hall's Cooley, take it apart, order the pipe, and start putting it back together, then address St. Mary's.
But quickly,
we'll take what we can get.
Thursday meeting, where at? When?
The Thursday meeting, 6 p.m. at the Great Northern Hotel.
In
the
Malta.
Bureau should have much more information on what they have and be able to inform us as best as possible.
Good stuff, Marco. Thank you. Thank you for the work you're doing.
Yes, thank you, and thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. Please share and subscribe and let us know what you think. Email me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. And don't forget, we're on weekdays on your hometown radio stations all across Montana. We hope to hear from you there, too.